Welcome to the Sunday Smooge, separating fact from fiction and Bubba Mises from the bottom line. With your host, Rabbi Dolvin Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens and CEO Mitch Zachary of Zachary Financial Consultants. Join the show through email by emailing rabbi@jewishgardens.com. Watch the show on Facebook Live, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now your hosts, Rabbi Dolvin Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mitch Zachary, the CEO. I'm here with Rabbi David Vigler on a very solemn day following a horrific act yesterday, which we will be talking about extensively. We have some interesting speakers with firsthand experience. I want to welcome you to the Schmooze, where we separate fact from fiction and Bubba Meister from the bottom line.
You got it. This is Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. And we are reeling from the pain, reeling from the shock of this cowardly attack on a synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, during their services. Just so shocking to think of someone such a coward to come and attack defenseless people involved in prayer and their spiritual pursuit. To come and attack them, to shoot them in their back, is just something which is so cowardly, so low. And we here are reeling from the pain, reeling from the shock. We've had too many years, too many decades and millennia of such tragedy. And, you know, here we are in the United States of America, Mitch, where we Jews have really found the safe haven. We escaped the Spanish Inquisition. We escaped the iron fist of the church in all of Europe, which forced our hand in our religious freedoms, that curbed those religious freedoms. And here in the United States of America is where we found that. And for us to have to experience such a hate crime, I believe it's the worst hate crime against Jewish people in the history of the United States of America, has every one of us quite literally dumbfounded.
You know, we all know that America was formed by people running away from religious persecution, not just Jews, of course, you know, all kinds, the Catholics versus the Protestants in England, and all kinds of persecution. And to think that here we are today in 2018, and Jews going, from what I understand, they were celebrating a baby naming or a bris, I've heard conflicting, either, regardless, to see Jews come together on a Shabbat morning to celebrate a happy occasion in life, be shot down merely because they were Jewish, and that the gunman was shouting, "All Jews must die." It is a sad day, a very sad day in American history, where we have to witness such a horrific act.
Our response to this despicable tragedy, to this incredible spiritual darkness, to this cowardice, to this hate, to this xenophobia, is to respond to darkness with an extraordinary measure of light. We know the way of the universe is that the only way to dispel darkness on a physical level is by illuminating a candle, by lighting a flame. And that's how we have to respond to the darkness, the spiritual darkness which surrounds us through this tragedy in Pittsburgh. We, as a Jewish community here in Palm Beach Gardens, are very much looking forward to creating a light that has never shone in Palm Beach Gardens, a light that brings together the entire Jewish community, every single segment of the Jewish community of Palm Beach Gardens is going to stand together, united with one light, the light of the Hanukkah menorah. To talk about this here this morning, we have with us the pleasure of the mayor of Palm Beach Gardens, Mayor Maria Marino. Thank you, Mayor, for joining us here this morning, live on Shmooze Radio.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I send out my sympathies to all. And I like the lead you just said about how bringing everyone together with one light. We are so looking forward to Wednesday, December 5th, as we light one light at the Palm Beach Gardens City Hall right outside at our Veterans Plaza. The opportunity to bring together all of the Jewish faith, no matter what segment you are of the Jewish faith, but also bring together those who aren't Jewish so that we can understand what you celebrate.
Precisely.
We just so look forward to it.
You know, Mayor, it's such an honor to have you here with us on Shmooze, on the Sunday Shmooze, and to be able to have you together with the other four members of the Palm Beach Garden City Council as our honorees, where we are able to pay tribute to you at this Unity Hanukkah event that brings together the community. You know, the community is a lot like everything else in our lives, where we don't always agree on everything. We have independent opinions and positions, and as members of a diverse and highly opinionated community, we all have different opinions. You know, some do it this way, some do it that way. But at the end of the day, we all remember that we're all brothers and sisters of human beings. We're all descended from the same ancestors. We're all fellow human beings. And as much as we might disagree with each other on the details, we always have to remember that at the end of the day, we're literally brothers and sisters, and that's what this Unity event is about. Brings together the Reform, the Conservative, the Orthodox, the Chabad, the kosher restaurant, the Jewish newspaper, the Jewish Federation, the Jewish Community Center, quite literally every single Jewish organization in Palm Beach Gardens. And again, might not agree on many details, but at the end of the day, that one light of the Hanukkah menorah unites us together, Jews and non-Jews standing together side by side, standing for the values of Judaism, for the values of the United States of America, which is overcome darkness with light. And I'm so grateful to you for having encouraged us to do this event, and for standing there together with us in allowing us to bring the community together at this most magnificent plaza, which is right there at City Hall, the Veterans Plaza. If you haven't seen it, let me tell you, folks, it is a beautiful place to gather together.
It really is. And as a Catholic Italian, I understand about the difference of opinion because we're all very passionate. We all believe in what we believe in. At the end of the day, we just have to hope that we can actually, with a voice, with a calm voice, talk to each other and reason with each other. That's the only way we are going to be able to get by.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And you know, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Shmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Our special guest here this morning is Mayor of Palm Beach Gardens, Mayor Maria Marino. And we're talking about our response to the cowardly tragedy, the cowardly attack in Pittsburgh yesterday on a synagogue, where I believe it was 11 members of the community, including 3 police officers, were killed in this cowardly attack. And our response is to respond to darkness with light, with standing together, united as a community here in Palm Beach Gardens, to stand together as one and illuminate the darkness of the night with the Hanukkah lights. And we invite everybody to join us together at Veterans Plaza for this free event on Wednesday, December 5th. Please mark it in your calendars, Wednesday, December 5th from 5 to 7 p.m., where there'll be live entertainment and Jewish traditional food. It's going to be a beautiful opportunity for us to make up for all this darkness, standing together as one. And I just want to thank you, Mayor Marino, for this extraordinary city that we live in. It's so beautifully organized. I can tell you this. We were sitting in synagogue yesterday morning, and as the news trickled in, we just knew that the city of Palm Beach Gardens was sending us not one, but multiple covers to protect our already to buttress the security measures which we already have in place, which of course we're not really allowed to talk about in a public forum due to the sensitivity of them. But to say that the city of Palm Beach Gardens was so quick in their response was literally minutes after the news broke, that almost simultaneous, that the city had sent out multiple police patrols that would make sure that we were safe in our synagogue, as I know and I'm sure that you did so in other Jewish organizations and synagogues around the city. And we're just so grateful for your organization, your vigilance in making the city of Palm Beach Gardens the beautiful place that it is.
Well, it is our pleasure. We are a family, and I know you've heard me say that before. The city of Palm Beach Gardens is a family, no matter what your faith is. No matter what the color of your skin is, we all believe we're just one family, that we want the best for all. And I'm going to actually end this on a light note and say, I am looking forward to the live DJ, the sound and light show, the food, the donuts, the activities for kids, the activities for the adults. And it's going to be a wonderful celebration in our beautiful Veterans Plaza at City Hall. And I thank you so much for being the spearhead for getting this done.
Thank you so much, Mayor Marino. We are touched and grateful for your words and for your presence and for your leadership. Let's turn the darkness into light. Thank you for joining us here this morning on the Schmooze Radio. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Schmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants, and I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. Learn about us online at www.jewishgardens.com. That's www.jewishgardens.com. And today, this morning, we are talking about our response to this cowardly tragedy, the cowardly attack in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on a synagogue just yesterday during Shabbat services during the naming of a baby. Our guest coming up this morning on the Shmooze will be Chabad Rabbi, four blocks away from the shooting attack. Rabbi Morty Rudolph is the director of the Friendship Circle, which is an organization dedicated to helping children of special needs and helping their families through these incredible challenges of their life. He's just four blocks away from the scene. He will be calling us on the Schmooze here a little bit later down the show. But before that, we are going to welcome Dave Barkley, who's the ADL's Southeastern Council and National Religious Freedom Council.
Before, you know, Rabbi, before we bring David on, two things I think are very important here. Most people don't understand the role of the ADL and how it fits into Jewish life, but I must tell you that when I contacted them yesterday, the response was so quick. It was amazing. I mean, all of this broke, of course, on Shabbat, and everybody was observing in their own way. And right after 8:30, I contacted them, and boy, I had a response from them, and David was on the phone with me in not even 15 or 20 minutes. And I was amazed because all offices, of course, were closed, but they're very, very responsive. And I think what you'll find is when David comes on, he is very versed in what has been happening, what is happening, and all of the, basically all of the background that you'll find with respect to hate crimes, which is unfortunately still part of Jewish life, which I don't understand.
Tragic, and that's right here in the United States of America, this incredible land of freedom and values where we literally have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which unfortunately we had to run away from in Europe and other parts of the world where we have been persecuted. Tragically, it's reared its ugly head all over again. And to welcome you here to the Schmooze, we're delighted to welcome you, Dave Barkley of the ADL. Thank you for joining us here this morning on the Sunday Schmooze.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, we're sorry to have you here on the Sunday Schmooze talking about a hate crime in the United States of America in a synagogue, no less. Unfortunately, these we know are daily occurrences in Israel, but here on our own land of the free, it's just so close to home. It is so painful. We're literally getting a feel of what life is like in Israel on a regular basis.
In some parts of Europe.
Yes, in some parts of Europe as well. Dave, would you be kind enough to share with us some of the statistics of hate crimes in the Jewish community? What is it really like?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on. And before I answer your question about statistics, I just want to express on behalf of ADL our heartbreak and condolences to the victims, their families, and the Pittsburgh Jewish community. I think we have to remember that an attack against one of us is an attack against all of us. And if religious freedom means anything in America, it means that we must be able to pray and worship safely in our synagogues and houses of worship. And we also want to thank the brave men and women of law enforcement, some of whom were injured by the shooter, for their quick response, because I'm convinced because of their response, lives were saved. As far as statistics, we have a number of them. I mean, this is something that ADL is really good at. We keep our own statistics, and of course, we work closely with law enforcement and the FBI about hate crime reporting. As far as what the FBI tells us, and I'll just give you some national statistics, and then I can go to statistics about religion and specifically Jews, and then I can talk about some of our own statistics. The most recent hate crime statistics we have from the FBI are from 2016. They lag about a year and a half behind. We'll get the 2017 numbers actually next month. But from 2016 to 2015, we saw a 5% increase in hate crimes nationally. So in 2015, there were 5,850, and that went up to 6,121. As far as religion, In 2015, there were 1,014 hate crimes, and they went up to 1,273 in 2016, so that was a 21% increase. And then within hate crimes against the Jewish community, we saw an 11% increase from 609 to 684. And, you know, I just want to say that the Hate Crime Statistics Act is a federal law under which this information is gathered. That law has been around since 1994, and every year that statistics have been gathered, the Jewish community is always the highest, unfortunately, target of religious-based hate crimes. And, you know, if you just look at the 2016 statistic, we're actually over half of religious-based hate crimes were against Jews. As far as our own statistics, we've been doing an anti-Semitic audit for decades that tracks both anti-Semitic incidents, which are non-criminal, and anti-Semitic motivated crimes against the Jewish community. And from 2016 to 2017, we saw a 57% increase. In 2016, there were 1,267 incidents, and in 2017, there were 1,986 incidents.
Wow. To what do you attribute this growth in the anti-Semitic incidents here in the United States of America?
You know, that's a tough question. You know, what's the cause? I mean, look, anti-Semitism, you know, we say it's the oldest hate. It has, you know, been with us for centuries or millennium. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, I don't see it stopping anytime soon. You know, I think what's important, and I don't know if to say, there's a cause and effect. But in the last decade in particular, we've seen in our society, I'm not talking about Europe, I'm not talking about, you know, what goes on in Israel, but in American society, I think we've seen a general breakdown in civility where vigorous argument on policy in the public square from political leaders, it's gone from vigorous argument on the merits of arguments to us demonizing our policy opponents. And I think that breakdown has been a dangerous thing. It's not a good thing. And I think that one of the most important things that we should be doing right now is we need to reinstitute civility in our public discourse, because what I said, what's critical is that, look, there's going to be anti-Semites and bigots and extremists and racists in our country. That's nothing new. But we've done a better job in the past of making sure those people are on the fringes of society, that when it rears its ugly head, it's uniformly condemned, and the message is sent that anti-Semitism and racism and bigotry have no place in American society. And unfortunately, I think this breakdown in civility has has emboldened anti-Semites and other racists. And I think that's one cause. I don't think it's the cause, but I think it's one cause.
David, can you share with us some of the dog whistles that are out there that you would consider sort of a secret message to the anti-Semites? Some of the phrases.
Unfortunately, I do. You know, if it's a wink, wink, nod, nod, if you're not, I mean, let's look what happened after Charlottesville. You know, there were leaders on both sides of the aisle who condemned it for what it was. But there were leaders who equivocated, and the extremists, the white supremacists, the neo-Nazis, the alt-right, they take that as a green light to continue what they're doing or to even act on it. I mean, unfortunately, when it comes to the alt-right, and I want your viewers to make no mistake, alt-right groups are white supremacists. There is no difference. They may call themselves something different. They may repackage themselves to look more palatable by wearing collared shirts and, you know, not wearing Nazi regalia or wearing robes or, you know, bearing tattoos and have their head shaved. But they're white supremacists. And we've seen a surge of their activity on our college campuses and our college campuses in Florida. You know, we were talking about causes for a minute, and I also think that, unfortunately, one of the other dynamics is the internet and social media.
Oh, I was about to say that.
You know, the internet's a great thing. I wish the internet existed when I was in high school. It would have really helped with a lot of papers in college and high school. But the bottom line is the internet and, you know, what, Facebook came out, was it 2007, 2008, like a decade ago? That has allowed the haters to amplify their message. You know, back in the day, if you wanted to affiliate with extremists or hate groups, you actually had to go to a meeting. You actually had to buy a publication.
Huh, that's interesting.
But now, with any extremist, whether it's a white supremacist, an alt-right person, an anti-government person, a religious extremist, they can become radicalized. They can learn this hatred from the comfort of their own homes. And that's a dangerous thing. And the other thing that we've been looking at is how social media works. Because when somebody goes on Facebook, in particular, and I'm not an expert on social media, but it's not necessarily, you know, normally we speak in terms of, well, how do you combat hate? You combat hate with messages against hate in the marketplace of ideas. But one of the issues that I think we're seeing is that on Facebook and other social media, it's not necessarily a marketplace of ideas, because the way those platforms work is they connect you with people who have the same interests. So you're almost speaking to the choir, and you're amplifying your message. So,
interesting.
You know, one of the other statistics that we've seen a surge in online harassment, anti-Semitic harassment of journalists and other people. And, you know, there's definitely a connection between that and the sophistication of the types of platforms that are out there on social media and the internet.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Shmooze with the rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews, just like you. Learn about us online at jewishgardens.com. That's www.jewishgardens.com. Our guest this morning on the Sunday Shmooze is Dave Barkley of the ADL, talking about our response to the tragedy in Pittsburgh yesterday in the synagogue during a bris, no less, welcoming the soul of a new baby into this world, was when this coward decided to terminate the lives of 11 people. And it's so interesting to hear how in an age of the explosion of communication, where we have all of these social media platforms where we can talk to each other like never before, instead of engaging in cross aisle communication, our communication has effectively become an echo chamber where we hear only the voices that we want to hear, thus emboldening the terrorists and radicalizing them in their own homes on their own computers.
David, I just want to ask you, I've read that this horrific shooting, the shooter, was part of a site called Gab, G-A-B. Is that anything that you've been monitoring? Do you know anything about it?
I mean, yes, ADL has been in the business of monitoring and exposing extremists of all sorts for decades. It started back in the 1930s when we started monitoring the American Bund, which was the precursor of the American Nazi Party, and now we look at a wide spectrum of extremists from the right to the left. And we have a center on extremism, and we are constantly looking at hateful and extremist activity on the internet. You know, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, if you look at the shooter, and I'm not going to name his name, and I don't think anybody should name his name because we don't want to give him any more attention than there should be. But, you know, just we put out a backgrounder yesterday on the shooter, and he was using social media, and the apparent motive for this crime was fairly obvious from the get-go, just looking at his Twitter feed and looking at what he was expressing on this particular website. So he was using it to try to forward, you know, whatever his beliefs are. We don't know we're still looking into whether he was actually connected to extremists or extremist groups, but certainly on social media, he was expressing virulent anti-Semitism, virulent anti-immigrant and anti-refugee sentiment, and somehow tying it to HIAS, which is a great organization. And right before he committed this crime, he posted something on social media about going into the synagogue. And I don't think that should be lost on us. And I think it, you know, it really shows the, you know, the danger of that social media can pose in amplifying the message of the haters. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we've made dealing with cyber hate a priority and have an office in Silicon Valley working with social media companies to try to address these issues.
David, could you talk a little bit about the efforts here in Florida and maybe bring it home for a lot of our listeners on a sort of a tangible level so we understand better what's happening in our communities?
Well, I mean, I think we need to talk about what we need to be doing, okay? We're talking about, you know, what are the causes? Okay, well, we're not going to fix that today. But I think that we need to talk about what the Jewish community needs to be doing in the immediate and the next step. So yesterday, ADL put out a community security advisory to all Jewish institutions because safety and security of our community is paramount. So, you know, I'm not going to go through everything, but you need to revisit and reassess your security plans. That needs to be done now. And if you don't have a relationship with law enforcement, we can help you with that, with your local law enforcement. That needs to be done. Because you don't want to be making a call to law enforcement or introducing yourselves to your law enforcement agency the first time an incident occurs. You want to have ongoing relationships. So you need to be looking at what plans you have in place and if they're functioning well, and you need to look at what can we be doing better. Those are some of the things that we were doing. There are lots of resources out there. We have resources on our website about religious institutional security. The FBI and DHS have many resources. So, you know, if your community is, particular institutions or community members are feeling scared or want to improve their safety measures, they should definitely reach out. But there are other things that we should be doing. We talked about the need to bring back civility. And there's something that Abe Foxman said when he was the chair of ADL. And he always stressed that the Holocaust, and I'm not making any comparison between what happened yesterday and the Holocaust. There is no comparison to that. But the Holocaust didn't start with the gas chambers. It started with words. And I think what we're getting from this conversation with what's going on in social media is the First Amendment is a very powerful thing. And hate speech, like it or not, is usually protected speech. But just because you can say something doesn't mean you should. So when anti-Semitism or racism or bigotry is expressed in the public square, whether it's, you know, overt or indirect, it has to be condemned by leaders. We have to push that to the fringes of society. We have to send the message that that is unacceptable in American society. So, for example, in 2017, and this is something that mayors can still do, we partnered with the U.S. Conference of Mayors to create the Mayor's Compact to combat hate, extremism, and bigotry, where more than 200 mayors pledged to fight bigotry and build tolerance in their communities and pass resolutions and move forward on that. I think we also have to remember that we're stronger together. ADL's mission, it's twofold. It's to stop the defamation of the Jewish people and secure fair and just treatment for all. So we know that the best way to protect the Jewish community is you protect everybody's rights. So if one group is attacked, we all have to stand up for them. We all have to send the message that that is unacceptable. If you attacked one faith or one race or one national origin, that's an attack against us, and it's unacceptable. And the community can come together. You know, we shouldn't sit idle. We can create our own community hate crime task force where we can build community awareness, where we can have plans to educate the community and how to respond. And the faith community is really important in that. They can message in a way. They have a credibility a nonpartisan credibility that other leaders that don't have. Now, you know, longer term, there's two other things which are really important: legislation and education. Just as background, ADL's a national leader on hate crime laws. Back in 1981, we drafted a model hate crime law that has been adopted by the basis of 45 state hate crime laws in the District of Columbia. And we also led a coalition to secure the federal hate crime law, the most recent one under which the shooter is being charged. Now, after the Emanuel AME Charleston massacre, where 9 African-American parishioners were gunned down in their house of worship simply because they were black, we implemented our 50 States Against Hate campaign. And what that campaign seeks to do is to secure hate crimes in the 5 states that don't have them and strengthen existing laws. The good news is that Florida already has a strong hate crimes law, and religion is covered. But there's definitely room for improvement. It definitely needs to be strengthened. It definitely can be more comprehensive. And that's important because it means that more victims and more crimes can be subject to hate crime prosecution. And it also sends a key message from our legislators that, again, right. If you commit a criminal act based on hate, that is unacceptable. So 2 years ago, we established the Florida Hate Crimes Coalition.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We got to go to a break. I want to thank you so much for your time. And very importantly, I want to thank you and the ADL, not only for the work you do for the Jewish community, but the work you do for all faith communities. Because that's how, as Jewish people, we're supposed to act. We're supposed to look at any act against another religious group or another, any kind of hate crime is a crime against all of us. And David, I just want to thank you so much for your time here.
Yes, it was really a pleasure having you, Dave.
Us and getting this important message.
Yeah,
out.
Very powerful message over there. I just want to point out, you know, that the shooter targeted, amongst others, HIAS, which is a Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. This was the organization that brought Sergey Brin, a Jewish immigrant to the United States of America, to the United States. He founded Google and has done so much for the development of this country. Just one of the people that came in through HIAS. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims, their families, and to the survivors. We'll be right back with a fascinating guest on the line here in Shmooze Radio. It would be Rabbi Morty Rudolph, Chabad rabbi, located just 4 blocks away from the scene of the crime. Boots on the ground. Don't go away. We'll be right back right after this.
Are you confused or just plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants includes CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446 or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
They say that caring for the elderly is a profession of the heart. As the director of home health care at Morse Life, I know that to be true. When I see an older person feeling safe and secure at home, I know I've done my job. To make a difference, to show compassion, dignity, and respect, it's not just our job, it's our mission.
Morse Life Home Health Care.
Morse Life Health System, honoring senior living.
Call 561-471-5111 or visit morselife.org.
This is the sound of happy children. It's how we believe kids should feel about Hebrew school. At Chabad Hebrew School, learning is always fun, and kids don't want to miss a day. Give your children the greatest gift of all, the gift of a strong Jewish identity through a solid Jewish education. Sundays, 10 a.m. to noon at Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. See it to believe it. Call us at 561-624-2223 to schedule an appointment. That's 561-624-2223 or 561-6-CHABAD, C-H-A-B-A-D, or online at jewishgardens.com. Chabad Hebrew School. Teach them today for a brighter tomorrow.
Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. You're listening to the Sunday Schmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. And we this morning are responding to the tragedy in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the cowardly attack on synagogue worshipers that were defenseless. All that they were trying to do was to be fulfilling their spiritual mission in this world. To attack them in the back whilst they were enwrapped in their prayer shawls is just cowardly, it's disgusting, and it's an abomination. We here on the Schmooze have had, earlier in the show, we've had the mayor of Palm Beach Gardens talking about our response to the tragedy. Uniting together with light as one community, every single segment of the Jewish community in Palm Beach Gardens will be uniting together on Wednesday, December 5th for the lighting of the Hanukkah menorah at the City Hall of Palm Beach Gardens. Please save the date to join us as we stand together as one, December 5th, 2018 at 5 p.m. We've also had from the ADL, Dave Barkey, talking about the statistics of hate crimes and anti-Semitism in the United States of America and what we can do about it, some disturbing points that he raised about free speech and hate speech here in the United States of America. Lots to talk about. But coming up right up on the Schmooze is actually my second cousin, I believe he is. It's the Rabbi Morty Rudolph of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, just four blocks away from the scene of the crime. He is executive director of an extraordinary organization called the Friendship Circle of Pittsburgh. This is a Chabad humanitarian organization dedicated to helping the lives and enriching the lives of children with special needs and aiding their families. The Friendship Circle is a Jewish community organization located in the heart of Squirrel Hill, the scene of the crime, that focuses on creating an inclusive and accommodating community for people with special needs. Good morning, Rabbi Rudolph, and welcome to the Sunday Schmooze.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I know that you have a lot on your plate right now, and you're fielding a lot of phone calls from our colleagues around the world. Chabad is one giant family with 4,500 shluchim emissaries literally in every single corner of the world where there are Jewish people, and you, unfortunately, are on the scene of the crime of this tragic shooting, and just to introduce our listeners, your father-in-law, I know, is the head of the Chabad of Pittsburgh, Rabbi Rosenfeld, right? And your father is also a very well-known community activist in Pittsburgh. He also was the head of the Jewish Federation for some time. So here you are, very strategically located in the Jewish community. What can you tell us, Rabbi Rudolph, about what's going on and what happened yesterday in Pittsburgh?
Well, they just announced the names. I don't know if you saw that. It was just announced at a press conference. I knew fairly well one of the members. Some of them I didn't know as well, kind of like by face or by reputation. It's a small community. I mean, Pittsburgh's a very close-knit place. Everybody kind of lives within a few blocks of each other. There was a sense, I actually was on my way to Shul yesterday, and I was actually on my way to Shul a little bit late. It was about 10:15 or so, and at that point, I mean, there were noticeable sirens and just noise kind of around the area, just leaving my house, which is on a quiet street, and the mailman I actually saw who kind of stopped me and said, I don't know where you're going, but you know, Tree of Life, is there's a mass shooting going on there now, and so I kind of I was obviously quite alarmed, and I was with my 10-year-old son, we were on our way together, and then someone else stopped and told us, you know, what was going on, and said, you know, synagogues are on lockdown, and, you know, I don't know if you want to kind of go head into the synagogue now when they're trying to hold a sort of lockdown all across the community. So we ended up kind of just sort of walking around to some folks' houses. People were asked to stay home, so the streets were sort of eerily quiet, and there were emergency vehicles just flying up and down the street. And the kinds of emergency vehicles, which is what really scares you, is that they're the kinds of emergency vehicles that you never see. So it's like an unmarked white van with lights just like flying up and down the street. Like, you've never seen this. It's not a police car. It's not something you're used to sort of seeing. It's something totally out of a movie or something like that. So,
Rabbi, can you explain to us, how do you explain this to your 10-year-old son? You said you're with your 10-year-old son. What do you tell him? What do you tell him when something like this is going on?
Well, I knew right away that there was no way he could avoid it. I mean, the mailman stopped us and told us this. I couldn't start telling him, oh, no, I'm sure it's nothing. I think the best lie is the truth, and obviously not telling as much, as many details as I, you know, holding as many details, not to get into the gory ones, but to just tell him, like, look, this, you know, there are bad people out there, and bad people who are deranged and do things for, totally, you know, without reason. And,
Rabbi Rudolph, what is the response of the Jewish community after Shabbat? I mean, when the scene was contained and Shabbat had ended last night, what happened in Pittsburgh? How did the Jewish community respond? What was the proceedings?
So, you know, I'd say a lot with email and social media, you know, speaking to a few people, you know, just kind of like, there was a vigil that was sort of like a, it was held immediately at the sort of heart of Squirrel Hill. So the epicenter of Squirrel Hill is Forbes and Murray. That's kind of like just where it all happens. So the Friendship Circle is located on Murray, but about two blocks down from that. And like I said, it's really just, it has, Barry Weiss wrote an article in the New York Times today. It has a shtetl feel. I mean, if Pittsburgh, Squirrel Hill is a shtetl. There was just, so people just kind of gathered together.
Was there a candlelit vigil?
I kind of went from house to house on Shabbat. And then afterwards, people did gather together. And then there was another sort of Tehillim, you know, songs were read closer to the actual synagogue.
When you said that you went house to house, what were you doing?
You know, but then by email, you know, everyone was just sort of like, you know, a number of events that were canceled today and tomorrow. Community events that were scheduled to happen that obviously just people couldn't have. And then some events that would continue. You know, we have an event this morning for young families and their children. And we thought, like, you know, obviously it's Mr. Rogers themed, which, you know, many know Mr. Rogers is from Pittsburgh and it was all about sort of neighborhood. And I always say that, like, there's a reason he chose Squirrel Hill for that, because Squirrel Hill is a neighborhood. It's a very real neighborhood.
Rabbi
I'm
Rudolph.
Up here a little bit. It's kind of emotional.
So. Wow, Rabbi Rudolph, it's really a pleasure to have you here, and we're grateful to have you talk about this tragedy that happened literally in your backyard. When you said that you were walking house to house to reach out to people, what were you looking for? What were you doing with these people?
Well, so the synagogue Tree of Life in and of itself is a smaller synagogue today. It was more vibrant in the past. It's been kind of dwindling, and that's why if you've seen the news, it's housing two other synagogues, which also, again, kind of is part of Pittsburgh, where, like, synagogues are kind of housed under one roof because, you know, to try to consolidate. But I, you know, some friends of ours who live down the street who I know belong there, and I'm, you know, don't necessarily go every week, but belong to Tree of Life, so I went and knocked on their door just to see if, you know, if everyone's okay. Other friends who were nearby who I knew were shook up. You know, things like that. It obviously strikes home for just everyone in the neighborhood.
Could you share with us your message to these people? What do you say to someone who's experienced this kind of tragedy so close to home?
It certainly is a blow. I mean, it's hard to deny that. It's hard to pretend like, oh no, it's fine. We got to wake up and just, you know, sort of like, you almost feel like you want to chant slogans of, like, oh, acts of goodness and kindness, which, you know, obviously we do want to do, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be processing what happened here, and that, you know, we set ourselves with the mission of bettering the world, bettering the community, and making it a more godly and goodly place. And yeah, it is a blow, but we do need to kind of like, you know, dust ourselves off as best we can and take the time to do so. Not pretend like it's, you know, we just have to jump right back into it. If you don't need, and obviously some people can do that, but those who need to take the time, you know, could and should do so, and we will. You know, these Pittsburgh strong lines, and I know last night reading some of the social media things where people were hashtagging pray for Pittsburgh, and it's like when you see that, it kind of strikes you all over again. Wow, you know, it's us.
Have you felt an outpouring of support from the international Jewish community?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, emails from Israel and everywhere. It's just Naftali Bennett. I understand is speaking to the community this morning.
Naftali Bennett.
There's definitely, you know, it makes it all smaller, and just people here who reach out and everyone wanting to be sure everyone's okay, and it's emotional, that's for sure. But the outpouring of support has been just tremendous.
Rabbi Rudolph is the executive director of the Friendship Circle of Pittsburgh, an organization devoted to helping the humanitarian needs of children with special needs in the community, just a few short blocks away from the Tree of Life Synagogue where the tragedy happened yesterday. Rabbi Rudolph, thank you so very, very much for your time. Your heartfelt words and your emotion certainly comes through here on the radio. We want you to know that we stand with you. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims, their families, the survivors, and especially to you, a community that was literally shaken out of your slumber, out of your comfort. Here we are, we think it could never happen to us, and if it could happen in Pittsburgh, friends, it could happen anywhere. We stand together, we stand united as one, and we pray for you, we pray for the Jewish people and for all good people around the world that we should experience joy, peace, and happiness. Thank you, Rabbi Rudolph. God bless you and your efforts.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us here this morning on the Sunday Shmooze. Separating the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. You're listening to The Shmooze. We'll be continuing with some spiritual reflections, some thoughts of Torah, thoughts of Kabbalah, about how we can respond to the hate, what we can do to combat this kind of darkness. We'll be right back.
This is the sound of happy children. It's how we believe kids should feel about Hebrew school. At Chabad Hebrew School, learning is always fun, and kids don't want to miss a day. Give your children the greatest gift of all, the gift of a strong Jewish identity through a solid Jewish education. Sundays, 10 a.m. to noon at Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. See it to believe it. Call us at 561-624-2223 to schedule an appointment. That's 561-624-2223 or 561-6-CHABAD, C-H-A-B-A-D, or online at jewishgardens.com. Chabad Hebrew School. Teach them today for a brighter tomorrow.
Are you confused or just plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants include CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446 or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
Lease up to luxury retirement living at the Stephen and Petra Levin Tower at Morse Life. The tower is all about indulgence and luxury, redefining retirement living with amenities that are second to none. Fine dining, a pampering spa, golf memberships, tennis, concierge services, and walking paths for your pet are among the pleasures of living at the tower. For a lifestyle that's first in its class, call 800-49-TOWER or visit morselifetower.com and secure your choice of floor plans today.
Are you retired or nearing retirement? By now you probably realize that nest egg you had set up is not nearly enough to carry you through retirement. Here's some good news. They specialize in retirement planning, estate planning, income taxation, and investment strategies for people who are retired or approaching retirement looking for ways to maximize their income. It's not too late to get on the right track to financial freedom. Mark Linsky has been a financial advisor since 1986 and carries a certified financial planner's designation and all the tips, tools, and secrets you need to find financial stability. They also focus on 401k plans and passive real estate solutions. So whether you're retired, nearing retirement, or just want to stay ahead of the game, contact Mark Linsky to set up your consultation. 561-328-7391. That's 561-328-7391. US 1 and Donald Ross, right in Juneau Beach.
Investment Group is an independent firm with securities offered through Summit Brokerage Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Summit Financial Group, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separated the facts from the fiction, the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. You're listening to the Sunday Schmooze with the rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants, and I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews, just like you. Learn about us online at jewishgardens.com.
Rabbi, we've had, and to all listeners, we've had quite an emotional day today, as we need to. And the last rabbi who knew some of the people who perished.
He was choking up in the show.
And I find it very emotional. And I really need some words, and I'm sure our listeners do too, Rabbi. We really need some words of comfort.
You know, when we think about this hate, when we think about the degree of animus, of vitriol, that it takes for a person to be able to pick up a machine gun and to walk into a room filled with men, women, and children that are defenseless and to just start firing. Where does that hatred come from? How do you face it? How do you, what drives a person to come to such a degree of criminal violence? It makes our heads roll as we think about where on earth is this coming from? Such a confused sense of darkness, such paranoia and hatred, where he screams out that all Jews must die. I mean, for heaven's sake, what a craziness that we're facing over here. But you know, we're all thinking so hard and so deeply about this, the pain of the tragedy. I'd like to just spin the direction in a slightly different direction. You know, they were celebrating a bris. They were celebrating the birth of the newest member of the Jewish people. The insertion of his godly soul as he's making a covenant with God Almighty on the holiness of the Shabbat, and the Jewish community gathers together as one. You know, the birth of a human being is a testament that God felt that the world could not continue without that person. And I want you to think about that in the context of your own self. If you were born into this world, then you're not a mistake. You were placed here for a very specific reason, a very specific mission. On the date of your birthday, as it comes around every year, you have to think about how God chose you specifically to be born into this world with a holy mission that no one else would be able to fulfill. God actually needs you. Isn't that an amazing thought? God needs me to do something. An almighty, infinite God needs little me to do something that he couldn't do for himself. This is the meditation that we think about on our birthdays and when we're welcoming a new member of our people at a bris, at this beautiful, moving moment of a bris. And then we think about the flip side of that. We think about how those beautiful lives, those beautiful candles, like trees growing in an orchard that are starting to bear fruit, that are able to share that luscious fruit, their unique contributions with their communities, with their families, with all of mankind. You think of some barbarian who walks with an axe into that beautiful orchard and he starts chopping down trees. For heaven's sake, suddenly he takes these precious human lives and he starts to randomly, hatefully cut them down, terminate their ability to fulfill their mission in this world. And we're just shocked. We're staring, stunned. What can we do? We can replenish their void. Those lives can no longer shine their light. They can no longer share their fruits and their contributions to mankind. What we can do is to redouble our efforts. Do you remember, Mitch? I remember back in South Africa when I was a kid growing up, that whenever there was a bar mitzvah in the 80s, there was always a Russian kid's name on the bima, where the South African kid was sort of in solidarity with a Russian kid who wasn't able to celebrate his bar mitzvah. And Sergei Nikolita Waka was now being commemorated together with this bar mitzvah boy. Have you ever seen that in America?
Yeah, it's beautiful. That was beautiful.
It was a beautiful custom. And thank God we don't need that anymore because the Russians are mostly free right now. But I want you to think about that same metaphor of your bar mitzvah or a friend's bar mitzvah that you saw, which adopted a Russian kid who wasn't able to have his bar mitzvah. I want you to think about these Pittsburgh victims, these fellow Jews, innocent brothers and sisters who are no longer able to finish their mission in this world. And I want you to think about doing a mitzvah, not because you want to do it, but because they cannot do it. Think about yourself lighting the Shabbos candles this Friday. Maybe you don't normally do it. Do it just because they can't. Do it in order to fill their void. Maybe you'll find your Chabad rabbi today and you'll say, Rabbi, I want to lay tefillin with you today, not because I want to, but because they can't, in order to fill their void, in order to replenish their loss, because Pittsburgh today is 11 lights darker than it was 2 days ago. Pittsburgh and all of our people have got 11 gaping holes in the hull of our ship. We have got to make sure that we fill that void by buttressing and making sure that those holes don't stay holes. We turn those holes into holy. We do something extra, something more spiritual. Give a little extra tzedakah. Do a little extra Torah study just for those souls who no longer can do that.
And thank you for that, Rabbi. And I also want to stress to people that the worst thing that they could do right now is run from their Judaism. And Rabbi, I'm glad you're encouraging everybody to light Shabbos candles for those who can't now. But I also want to emphasize how important it would be, how meaningful it would be for more people to make an effort to go to shul this coming Shabbos in support of the people that can't go.
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh.
And you know, Mitch, you raised such a beautiful point over there. You know what the bully on the schoolyard wants? The bully on the schoolyard, nothing more. He wants nothing more than to see fear in the eyes of those whom he bullies. And nothing bothers him more than seeing that the people he's trying to intimidate are not intimidated by him. Let us make sure that as Jewish people, we're not retreating into our shells to be less Jewish and that nobody should know that we're Jewish. God forbid, let's stand up tall, let's stand up proud and say, I'm a Jew and I'm proud. I am not intimidated. I am not hunchbacked. I am not afraid. We are tall and we are proud. You know, I walk every week to shul like thousands of other fellow Jews around the world. And you know what? Once maybe in 2 years or maybe once in 3 years, a car will drive by with a slur. And you know what happens whenever they do that? I stare them straight in the eye. I don't look away. I don't cower. I don't try to hide behind a bush. I look them straight in the eye. And you know what happens, Mitch, every single time?
They speed up.
They run away. And they automatically look the other way because it's the last thing they're expecting. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for the Jewish people. Stand up for our Bubbies and Zaydis and for our ancestors who have marched like sheep to the slaughter. That's never going to happen again because we are the Jewish nation. We will stand tall. We will stand proud. And we will not be intimidated. This will make those bullies cower away. Thank you for joining us here this morning, folks. Let's make sure that this week we do something extra, an extra bit of light, an extra mitzvah, an extra something holy, study some Torah, give some charity, lay the tefillin, light those Shabbos candles, light those Hanukkah candles, unite as one as at our Hanukkah menorah lightings in your communities around the world. Let's make more light in this world to combat the darkness that was inflicted upon us yesterday. Shalom, and let's make this a week that's filled with positive energy, pride, and light.